Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Mark, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Mike?
Good. We're going to move south of the border here, so to speak. We're going to look at the cervix in today's poem. Cervical.
South of the border.
Well,
what border are we talking about?
The waist. The waist.
Okay. Excellent.
Cervical intraepithelial neoplasm, CIN, is a premalignant condition of the uterine cervix. The cervix, we'll remember, is visualized with a speculum. What we actually are looking at is the ectocervix, and it's covered with squamous epithelium. The endocervix, including the canal, by the way, is covered with granular epithelium. So CIN specifically refers to squamous abnormalities. We can test the cervix for cancer using cytology. We also can use oncogenic subtypes of human papillomavirus. We've talked about this in previous poems. We follow up on those abnormalities of the screening test with colposcopy and perhaps cervical biopsy, looking for a CIN or perhaps frank cervical cancer. CIN is usually classified as low-grade or high-grade. Women with low-grade CIN have a pretty low potential risk for developing cervical malignancy. Those with high-grade lesions are at high risk for progression to malignancy. In managing patients with CIN, the goal is obviously to prevent possible progression to invasive cancer while avoiding over-treatment of lesions that are perhaps likely to regress. So when we talk to women about this treatment, that is, the question that many women often have is, are any of these treatments going to affect their fertility or perhaps early pregnancy outcomes? You've got an article that you selected from the BMJ, published the end of last year, 2014, volume 349. The question that the article asks is, what is the effect of treatment for CIN on fertility and early pregnancy outcomes? What did they find?
Well, what they didn't find was any randomized controlled trials. So this is a meta-analysis of observational studies, and they found 15 cohort studies and one case control study. So, you know, anytime you have observational studies, you have to be careful to adjust for differences between groups that may be related to how they're treated or how they assemble or how they get into the study. So there were 15 studies. Overall, they felt that the study quality was good for each of the individual studies. And what they looked at was that both fertility outcomes and then complications like miscarriage and ectopic pregnancy. And they saw that there was no adverse effect on pregnancy rates or time to conception in women who received one of these treatments versus women who didn't. One of the studies actually saw a significantly higher pregnancy rate with treatment, 43%. I'm sorry, it was like 60 versus 40%. But then when you did the meta-analysis of all four studies, there was still an increase, 43 versus 38%. But it was mostly driven by that one study, and the other studies didn't show that benefit. So with that heterogeneity, I'm not sure I would say that treatment increases fertility, but at least we can be pretty confident it doesn't decrease it. First semester miscarriage rates was studied in four studies, 1,100 women, no difference. But second semester miscarriage rates were higher. There were eight studies, and they had 1.6% rate of miscarriage during the second trimester if they underwent treatment versus 0.4% if they didn't. Number needed to harm of about 80.
That's about four times higher, huh?
Yeah, 0.4 versus 1.6. So yeah, that's, you know, not insignificant, certainly. So these results were dominated by a single huge trial. I mean, this one, that trial had over 2 million women in it. But if you looked at the smaller studies, they also found consistent increases in miscarriage rates during the second trimester. And also, number of ectopic pregnancies was roughly doubled, 0.8 to 1.6%. And pregnancy terminations were higher, 7.4 versus 12.2% in the treated women. There was a case control study that looked at 1,300 women who underwent colposcopy, and then they had 1,300 matched controls. They also found that the risk of preterm birth was not affected by a small excision, but they saw that if there were larger 15 millimeters or larger excisions, that doubled the risk of preterm or very preterm birth. So that's of concern, certainly.
Just I'm wondering, Mark, when they do a matched control, I assume by matching they're controlling for prior STDs, age, you know, so that you really are comparing like women to like women.
Right, and the time, you know, the timing of the excision, right. That kind of thing as well, in terms of how long before pregnancy it occurred. Yeah, so, and so, you know, these are, again, observational data. The authors conclude that it would be, you know, unethical to do a randomized controlled trial. You know, I'm not sure that's necessarily true, since there is, you know, potential benefit and potential harm on both sides. I mean, I think you could make an argument for, you know, what we call equipoise. But in any case, current evidence suggests that, you know, there is a harm in terms of second trimester miscarriages, ectopic pregnancies, an association with greater likelihood of pregnancy termination. You know, this is in part, a large part, why ACOG and American Cancer Society and the USPSTF do not recommend screening for HPV before age 30, because the concern is that it leads to a lot of unnecessary, fairly aggressive treatment, and that those treatments can have these kind of adverse effects.
Very interesting. Thanks, Mark. Talk to you again next week.
All right. See you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.